Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21 is our passage for study today, the book of Galatians, chapter 5, and we'll start in verse 16. Paul shows here that there is a battle between the flesh and the spirit. Now, that battle is between the flesh and the spirit of man, and it's also between the flesh and the Spirit of God. This conflict is talked about in many other verses of Scripture. Jesus said in Matthew 26, verse 41, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, Peter said to abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. And then in Romans chapter 8, verse 5, Paul said, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." And so there are these opposites, the flesh and the Spirit. And in Galatians 5, verses 16 through 21, Paul talks about this struggle between the flesh and the spirit. And then it's interesting, after he talks about the works of the flesh in verses 19 through 21, he talks about the fruit of the spirit, just the opposite in verses 22 and 23. So let's look at this contrast beginning today in verse 16. Paul said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." To walk in the Spirit means to walk in the things of the Spirit, especially what he's just said in verses 13 through 15 about loving each other and not indulging the flesh. Notice that he talked about the flesh in verse 13, and he said, instead of living after the flesh, you need to love each other. And he explained even more by talking about them backbiting and devouring one another. That would be the flesh. But instead, have peace and love each other and be humble, because those things are the teachings of the Spirit. And he said, if you'll mind the things of the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, in verse 17, then, he describes this conflict that we're talking about. In verse 17, Paul said, "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other." So the flesh is against the Spirit, and the Spirit is against the flesh. He says these are contrary one to another. So if you live after the Spirit, you're going to go against the flesh. And if you live after the flesh, you're going to be in opposition to the Spirit. And you can't do both. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 4, that whosoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, this is why people who live after the flesh are not comfortable around people who live after the Spirit. This is why people who are Christians, who try to live in both worlds, are not interested in spiritual things like they should be, and in fact, they're sometimes offended by them. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, that the natural, that is, the sensual or fleshly man, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. He doesn't have any interest in spiritual things because his mind is on the flesh. And this is what Jesus meant when he said that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil, and everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or exposed. John 3, 19 and 20. So Paul says, because the Spirit and the flesh are so contrary one to the other, this is why, he said, you cannot do the things that you would, the things that you want to do. Because the flesh is weak, we as Christians don't do as well as we would like to do, or as well as we plan to do. The Bible again says in Matthew 26, verse 41, the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We have good intentions, but sometimes we don't follow through because of the weakness of the flesh. And in Romans chapter 7, Paul shows that this struggle is even worse for a person under the law of Moses. And so he says in verse 18, if you're led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. To be led of the Spirit means to be interested in and live for the things of the Spirit, the virtues that the Bible teaches. This is not some kind of strange feeling where a person wants something and he tells himself that the Holy Spirit is leading him to have that or to do that. There are many people today who claim to be led by the Spirit when actually they're after the flesh. The Bible says in Proverbs 14, verse 12, there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And we know the things of the Spirit by what the Spirit has revealed in His written word. And Paul says, if you follow what the Spirit says, then you're not under the law that is the law of Moses. Now, beginning in verse 19 and going through verse 21, Paul gives one of the longest sections in the Bible on the works of the flesh. He's very specific here in these words that he uses. Notice in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest. That is, they are plain. They are declared. They are evident. First of all, he says, adultery. When a man and a woman are married, they commit to each other. The Bible says that they become one flesh. And they promise to keep themselves to each other. And the teaching of the Bible, the teaching of the Holy Spirit, is for husbands and wives to be faithful to this vow. Now the flesh, on the other hand, says to go against it and to do what pleases you. The next word is the word fornication. This is a broader word. This is a word which in the original Greek includes premarital sex, adultery, prostitution, homosexuality, pedophilia. It means unlawful sexual union in general. This is a work of the flesh, and it is common, and it is widespread today just like it was in Paul's time. The third word is uncleanness. And this is uncleanness, not from the standpoint of physical dirt, but uncleanness in a spiritual and especially a sexual way. It refers to things that are dirty and filthy, bad language, pornography, dirty jokes, and activities that encourage lust and immorality. And it's very similar to the next word, which is lasciviousness. This comes from a word which is defined as wanton acts or manners, such as filthy words, indecent bodily movements, and unchaste handling of males and females. So that would include vulgarity. It would include touching and handling someone in an indecent way, whether against their will or with that person's consent. And so this would condemn the familiar ways that people touch each other on the dance floor today, or the ways that young people oftentimes touch each other in dating and even in public. And in this wicked and immoral generation in which we live, these things need to be taught a whole lot more than they are. In verse 20, Paul gives the word idolatry, worshiping other gods. And it's interesting in Ephesians 5, verse 5, that the Bible says that covetousness is idolatry. So you don't have to go to a foreign land where people fall down before a physical idol to see idolatry. We have it here in our country as well. And then next on the list is witchcraft. This refers to sorcery, casting spells, trying to practice the occult, looking for some kind of special power from Satan and the dark side. Then we have the word hatred. This is a work of the flesh. You see, when the Bible talks about the work of the flesh, it is not simply describing something that you do with your physical body. So some of these things involve the body more than others, but this refers in general to the works of sinful man. Hatred is a work of the flesh, and the Bible says that a man who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. 1 John 3, verse 15. The next word is variance. This means contentions. It refers to strife and wrangling. And the Bible says in Proverbs 6, verse 19, that God hates those who sow discord among the brethren. It is that serious. The next word is emulations. This means jealousies. Jealousy in its different forms. It's in the plural. This is an old and a common sin, and it is a work of the flesh. It is not from the Spirit of God. The next word is wrath. Anger can be a good thing. Jesus was angry in Mark chapter 3, verse 5. But prolonged anger is not right. Habitual anger is not right. The Bible says, "Be ye angry and sin not." Ephesians 4, verse 26. And we're not to be angry over the wrong things or angry with a brother without a cause. Matthew 5, verse 22. The next word is strife. This was used in Greek culture of a man who was electioneering or intriguing for office. And it refers to a courting distinction, a desire to put oneself forward, a partisan and factious spirit which does not disdain low arts, that is, tactics, to get its way. The next word is seditions. This is a word that is used in Romans 16, verse 17, where the Bible talks about those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. And it's also the same word that is used in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, where Paul said that there were divisions in the church at Corinth. The Bible says then that heresies are a work of the flesh. Now, these are divisions over opinions that are not bound in the Bible. The next word is envyings, and this overlaps with the word emulations or jealousies in verse 20. The word in verse 20 can be used in a good sense because there is a good sense of the word jealousy sometimes in the Bible. But the word that is used here is never used in a good sense. It is only used in a bad sense in the Bible. Then we find the word murders. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, the Bible shows that murder has always been deserving of the death penalty. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. The next word is drunkenness. This is man's way of trying to deny the real world and escape the responsibility to deal with life as it is. It's an escape. And the Bible tells us also in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, that those who are drunkards shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And the last word is the word revelings. The word revelings refers to revelries or carousings. And probably the best way to put this in our modern vocabulary would be to say that it means partying. And we're not talking about a simple or an innocent birthday party, but partying in the sense of drunkenness and sex and all kinds of sinful behavior. That is what this word means. And after he gives this list of the works of the flesh, he says, and such like. In other words, there are many more things that are works of the flesh that Paul does not specify here. And his pronouncement is, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, Paul, of course, is talking about people who commit these things and are never forgiven of them. Because obviously, in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, you have some of these very things mentioned that the Corinthians did, but when they were baptized, their sins were washed away. He's talking about people who do not repent of these sins and have not been forgiven of these sins, and he plainly shows that those who do these things are going to eternal damnation in hell.